And since it is the big week, we've been doing this every year for as long as I can remember. It is my part-time roommate, my full-time friend, the former Oklahoma coach, the former Dallas Cowboy coach. He is the and the birthday boy, handling his dogs, the great Barry Switzer.
Yay!
Woohoo!
Hey, Corby.
Happy
my
birthday.
My birthday was yesterday. Yeah,
oh,
yes,
I know.
My birthday
belated.
Was yesterday.
I know. I know.
All right. Belated birthday. Yeah, I appreciate it. I've had many of them. I'm 5 from 90, so that's kind of scary when you say it that way. I guess you could say I was in overtime, and I'm gonna play about 6 or 7 of those damn things. So
yeah.
Anyway,
you got plenty.
Doing good, buddy. I am doing good, pretty good. As long as I walk around, keep my damn brain, I'm okay.
Yeah. So it was funny because Troy Aikman was on this morning with our morning show, and then I sent him a note
right
after he was on there. I was like, what is your number one memory from OU Texas? And he said that he was like, well, you know, the game that he played in before he broke his leg, which was the week after in
right
Miami.
Right.
You guys beat Texas 14-7, and as he said, he was like, the offense was terrible. I fumbled the ball. That's the only reason they scored. Our defense was phenomenal. And he was like, he goes, and then I got hurt the next week, and that was it.
Yeah, it was. It really wraps it up. You know, Troy, I've told people, you know, Troy, we would have won the national championship had that Troy not got hurt. You know, we were a good football team. He was right. We were a great defensive team. We led the nation in defense. And, you know, we had Casillas, who was the second pick in the draft, you know, played for the Cowboys, too. And he played, what was that damn guy, the first pick was Bo Jackson, and he had a pretty good career, good athlete.
He's all right.
But Charles was second, I mean, Casillas was second. But anyway, Troy was first pick, player picked in the draft. We had the first and the second player pick. Now, I don't know if he'd stayed at Oklahoma, he had been the first pick. But even the first pick, he would gone in the first round. I promise you, Troy would have. But he went to UCLA, and he was ended up being the first pick in the draft. And we had the first, the second, the third, the fifth, the 11th player picked in that draft. But we were a good team, and we would have won the national championship had Troy not broke his leg and he'd been our quarterback. Yes, Jamal Holloway is a great option quarterback. We were throwing the ball more with Troy, but obviously it turned out the best for all. It really did, and I look back on it, it's the best thing that happened. I'm sorry it broke his leg, but him going, fitting in for a program that took the advantage of his talents, it worked out great for him.
Man, it's just it's really interesting as I look back, Coach, at really the path. I was working on a Jimmy Johnson project recently, and the way you and him and, frankly, so many other people like Larry Lacewell and, you know, and obviously Troy's in the story, but the way you guys intersected for 30 or 40 years is really a cool chapter of football.
How come you won't mention Jerry Jones? How come you won't mention Jerry?
You know what? For some reason,
He fits right in the damn middle of that.
I apologize. That's the most obvious name that I left out of there. But, yes, the intersections are everywhere with you guys, and it really makes for a great book.
Yeah, it was. We were all at Arkansas together. I was on the coaching staff there. And, you know, who was there was Hayden Fry, Doug Dickey. We had a bunch of guys that were good coaches and on the staff. But the guys we had were players, from Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones and those guys, and we all were friends for many, many years. And, you know, when Jerry came to Oklahoma after he got his degree, he made his first fortune in oil and gas business here in Oklahoma. And I was the head coach in the 70s, and I spent a lot of time socializing with Jerry at that time. So I had a great relationship. We hired Jimmy Johnson. Jimmy was here at Oklahoma for 4 years as an assistant coach. I was the head coach, and I walked in the office and I said, Jimmy, you're fixing to get a call from Frank Broyles. He's going to offer you the defensive coordinator job. And I said, you better make a decision in 2 days because I want someone's ass on the road that can sell Oklahoma and not be someone be thinking about what job he ought to be taking. And I said, you ought to need to make this decision in 2 days. And he did. And he went to Arkansas to be the defensive coordinator, and that's what he should have done. And I hired Rex Norris from Texas A&M. So, anyway, we all – it was that way. We all grew up together. And that was 40, 50 years ago, and it all associated that way. When Jerry bought the Cal – I'll never forget, guys. I was lying in bed one night. I get a phone call from Gil Brandt. Gil calls me and says, you know a guy named Jerry Jones? I said, yeah, I know him. He said, well, he just bought the Cowboys. I said, really? I said, what kind of guy is he? And I said, Gil, I'd be worried about my job. I think he's going to cut everything to the bone. He's damn sure not going to – he's not going to give an open checkbook to anybody like and, of course, the guy that owned the Cowboys and the big oil and gas guy. But, you know, Tex had the big checkbook. He could write anything he wants to out to keep these players and all, but keep them happy. But, you know, it was a different time, different era. And Jerry always told me they only had a short list. That it was Jimmy and me on a short list of the coaches he would hire.
Did you?
People he knew.
Did you know, like, you know, you mentioned, you know, Jerry had a lot of money early on in the 70s, and
sure.
You know,
the
good story about you is your first couple of years when you were undefeated at Oklahoma, you were making like 30,000, is that right?
No, I've been embraced. I made 24,000 my first 3 years. These bastards today make 7, 8, 9 million. And, everybody talks about reparations. Old football coaches get reparations. Hell, you know, I went 32-1-1, two national championships, two back-to-back undefeated seasons, and I made $32,000 a year for 3 years. And look at that. I mean, it's unbelievable. We were the winningest team in the 70s in college football. You go back and check it. Oklahoma won more games than anybody in the 70s. I don't think I ever made $100,000 when I was coaching. I made the job better than that, guys, by me going out and creating my own talent fees, doing about five damn radio shows and about three drive, doing the drive shows and all that for radio and all. But I made it into a $1 million job back in the 80s, but I had to do it. Damn school wasn't giving it to me.
So the school did something really cool that you were a big part of, and you know one of the reasons you were undefeated in those years was because of the Selman brothers, and you know Leroy Selman's in the Hall of Fame, the NFL Hall of Fame, and you know the two Dewey and Lucius, the fact that they were part of that too was incredible. But that had to have been really cool for you to go back there and kind of dedicate that statue to the Selman family.
You bet it was. You know, when Selman played at Oklahoma, Corby and you guys, Bob, Oklahoma was 54-3-1. 54 wins, three losses, one tie. We probably should have won every damn one of the games we lost. We were better than they were. We helped them. And we won two national championships. We won 38 in a row. We had a hell of a run, guys. I never lost to Texas. Let me tell you, I'm going to brag on that. I never lost to Texas. And we had a great run in my last 5 years of run at Texas. I think I had four or five wins straight in a row before I retired. But anyway, it was a time. Daryl accused me of cheating, Corby. I said, yeah. Daryl, you're not even recruiting the same damn players I am. Hell, I was playing black quarterbacks in 71. Y'all weren't even recruiting a black player in SEC or Southwest Conference then, you know. But I was doing the right thing, recruiting all the best players at all positions. And I had to jump on everybody. I really did. That was what was very significantly helped me in the 70s.
So, you know, looking at this game this week, and, you know, there weren't a lot of years where you rolled into this game. I mean, hell, there may have been one, maybe, in your tenure at Oklahoma where you lost – two games, you know, going into it and facing a Texas team, too, that was lost a couple of games. It's a good start for Venables, and then it just all fell apart. And how do you keep it together if you're a guy like that, and now you may not have your quarterback again?
I don't think he's got his quarterback, and he's got a third-string quarterback from Pittsburgh, was in the portal. So you know, I don't know the guys. It's not fair to him to put him under this pressure, but they're in trouble. And you know how I know they're in trouble? Because this is the first time in 56 years me being in Oklahoma. Someone's asked me to buy how many Texas tickets. So, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I say it's a bad thing. It shows what their thinking is out there.
You've not had one person reach out to get
tickets? I haven't had a person call me. All the ones I've always been able to go to the ticket office and get for my friends, the people that I knew and known for a long time, being able to take care of them. The ticket office always blocked me off a lot of tickets that they knew I would come get year to year to year, the same tickets. But this year I didn't need them. I told them this is my first time. No one's ever called me and asked me for anything. So
there was one of those years, Coach, where I know I reached out to you and I was like, hey, it's late in the game, I know, but you think you can get a pair of tickets? And his response was, what do you effing think?
No, that's one thing I can do. I still get a few things done. But
what'd you do for Corby?
It was a great era. You know, when we won in that game, we were always ranked one or two in the country. We usually were all undefeated, Texas and Oklahoma, and ranked number one and number two or something. And we were right in top five, I guarantee you. And that's the way it was. But it's not that way anymore. Today, and I tell you what, this NIL, you know, if you lose, who in the hell wants to invest in a team that ain't worth a damn? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I worry about I really do worry about that. People's attitude is that way. It's going to be hard to raise money with that. And these kids today, they end up doing their own deals. And go where they want to. An agent's being home, tell them what the hell they want to hear. And saying you sign with this school, I can get you more money than you can with that school. Hell, they're going to have more influence in the school, the coach, as on the damn player. Promise you, it's going to get worse. It's going to get bad.
This is Coach Barry Switzer, of course, the unmistakable voice. I probably didn't need to identify you, but just in case, I am curious your impression of this past year. Just how weird has it been up there? It seems like a very unique calendar year for Oklahoma football, to say the least.
Well, we started off, and you know, obviously, I think the first couple, two or three games, we only had 30 points scored on us. But look who we played. But they were pretty damn good. They really were. But we won the games and did pretty good numbers. But we went up and put Nebraska, who's terrible, and then we got our ass kicked by TCU, and I knew that. I really felt bad about going to that game. I thought they were good, and they just beat us like a yard dog, and really worry about. I look at the conference schedule now. Hell, Kansas is the best team in the league, and we know they won the national championship in basketball, but hell, you can't imagine them winning the Big 12 conference championship in football. But here they are, and they've got to be pretty good. But I guarantee you, Baylor's good. Iowa State's good. TCU's damn good. All these teams can beat you. And the ones that should be really everyone thinking it ought to be up there at the top are A&M and Texas and hell, Oklahoma. Harold, it's flipped. The league has flipped upside down on us, you know.
So, is there still a Lincoln hangover, you think? Like, is there still the
creepy? Well, I tell you what, Lincoln took a lot of players from us. He took the running backs, the receivers. He took the quarterback was here, you know. He recruited them, and they went with him. That's why they came here to begin to Oklahoma. And when he left, they wanted to go with him, so he took them. And that helped hurt us more than anything, whether it's a Lincoln hangover or what. But play calling, I don't think the hell that's got anything to do with it. There's people just running, throwing the damn football and catching it. That more than anything to do with it. But, it's going to be interesting to see how it plays all up, play out here in the next few weeks. And I'm really concerned Oklahoma's in bad shape.
Yeah, going to be a long one, Coach. Going to be a long one. All right, before we let you go, we're going to harken back to the old coaches show that you used to do, whether it was here with the Cowboys or back on campus in Norman. But let's go to the phones. We're going to take one phone call.
Okay, let's go.
Yeah, let's go to Jerry in Highland Park. Jerry, you're on with Coach Switzer.
Yes.
Barry, thanks for taking my call. I was just curious if you ever thought about what an honor it is that you are the last head coach to win a Super Bowl for the greatest GM of all time. And, of course, I speak of Jerry Jones, the man who stays out of Robert Kraft massage parlors and focuses on post-Switzer mediocre football.
You know, this sounded like Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones. That's not fair.
I got you, Barry. It's good.
Jerry's birthday is on October 13th. I always call him on his birthday. Wish he had lost Marilyn. She was a great lady. But Jerry, is that your answer?
I'm about the closest thing. Closest thing to Jerry that you can get.
Well, you really are. You had me there for a second. Jerry, you got enough guts to do this. Jerry, get your ass out there and do this. Play with these guys.
All right. Hey, Barry, it sure was good talking to you, and I don't know if you've been listening to Corby's show, but I heard on his show that Kanye bought fentanyl from a purple dinosaur. I'll leave you with that.
Oh, my God. You guys are
good morning,
all right,
wow.
Barry.
Thank you, Jerry, for Barry. The call.
Yeah, we had to run Jerry out.
Yeah,
morning.
Thank you, Jerry. Yeah. Boy, he did a hell of a job.
Yeah.
But well, Coach, Jerry's birthday is the 13th, see if you get his ass on there, okay?
We'll try.
What will Jerry be, 80? He'll be 80, I think.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think he will be.
I'm 85. I think he's 5 years younger than me, him and Jimmy both.
Well, you know what? Like, hey, look, I texted with Troy earlier today, and Troy's like, there's not an 85-year-old man in the country that looks better than Barry Switzer does, so you're doing something right, man.
I know. Good genetics, I guess. You know, my dad got his ass shot by a jealous woman, 28 jealous woman, because she caught him with another young woman. So he was a good-looking guy in his 60 or 70. But anyway, he had good looks, so I inherited him. I'm not going to get my ass shot. I promise you.
Yeah, let's avoid that.
All right, man. Hey, I'll be up there. Deal. I'll be up there in a couple weeks, so I'll come visit you. Love you, and we'll talk to you soon.
I love you guys, too. Take care. It's always fun to be on with you guys. Bye.
All right, buddy. We'll see you. There he goes.
Imagine, as always.
The great.
Wow.
Great Barry Switzer. And Jerry Jones.
Yeah.
Thanks to
Jerry. Shout out to
that.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Wow.